Hey, thanks for coming, everyone. This is one of those pre-events before some actions take place around the G8. With just to give heads up, maybe a lot of people already know this, but the G8 development ministers are coming to Halifax from April the 26th to the 28th. And there's a bunch of events to try to educate people about what the G8 is and why it needs to be opposed, that sort of stuff. And this is one of those events. So today, Alex Krasnovich is going to start out giving a bit of an overview about the G8 and neoliberalism and what are some of the problems? How is this screwing over so many people? And then after that, we'll be Vince McDonald talking about basically the police state, how the G8 is amassing such a huge security tab and that whole issue of the massive security. And then Jane Kirby will be talking about the struggle of people trying to move around, capital is free to move, but people can't move under the conditions that the G8 impose around the world. And then I'll talk about a bit of history of resistance to the G8 and WTO and that sort of stuff at the end. And just to remind people listening here, there are a bunch of these at the back. They're from the Halifax Media Club. It's a bit of a focus on the G8. They're all free. Please grab some.
First of all, welcome everybody. Thanks for coming out, and thanks to NS Perg for organizing this, booking the room at the very least. I'm Alex Krasnovich. During my daytime life, I masquerade as a prof at Mount St. Vincent University. I really just want to give a very basic overview of some of the issues here. I think that we could go into detail with a lot of this, and maybe if you guys have questions at the end, we can talk about them, but I want to sort of like be a bit large scale in my intro here. So I really just want to talk about what the G8 is, where it came from, and what the problems with it are. So that's what I'm going to do. So what's the G8? Well, the G8, first of all, maybe this is old news to some of you, but for the purposes of folks who don't know much about the G8, because it is kind of ambiguous, mysterious, the G8 stands for the Group of Eight. The G8 was once the G6, it became the G7, and then it became the G8. So who are the G8? Well, the G8 are France, the United States, the United Kingdom, Russia, Germany, Japan, Italy, and Canada. They once could have been said to represent some of the most powerful. They are the most powerful industrialized democracies on the planet right now. That's what the G8 represents, essentially. Of course, they're not necessarily the most powerful economies because China, India are not part of that group. Nevertheless, that's who they are. And the European Union is also a shadow member of the G8. It's not counted as an official, well, it is an official member, but it doesn't count towards that number. But the EU, through the European Commission, is part of the G8. So right there you have, a block of some of the biggest, most powerful industrialized states on the planet. The G8, as I said, originally was the G6, so it excluded Canada and Russia. It was formed in 1975 in France, in a meeting in France, and it's a very important thing that it emerged in the mid-70s, something I'll get to in a second, and it speaks to what the G8 is and what some of the main problems with it are. So since 1975, the G8's been meeting annually. Every year there's an annual summit. Basically, each of the members takes turns holding the presidency, and then the summits rotate between the different countries. So this year, Canada has the presidency. It's in Canada. The meeting in Halifax isn't actually this summit. The summit's going to happen in Ontario in June. What's happening in Halifax is that along with the summits, on a yearly basis, there are what they call ministerial meetings. And so the development ministers from the eight powerhouses and from the European Union are meeting in Halifax to talk development. You might say, what does that mean? Well, that's a very good question. And I'll get to that or some of the ambiguity around that in a second. So essentially what's happening here is in a very few short weeks, Bev Oda, who is Harper's Minister of International Cooperation, will host the development ministers of the other G8 nations in Halifax. And they're here to basically, in the words of the Harper government, to lay the foundations for development-related proposals that will go to the Leaders Summit in June. So again, what does development mean? Well, this year, Stephen Harper has decided that his pet project is maternal health and maternal and child health in the world's poorest regions. And I think, obviously, we need to take some of this with a pretty significant grain of salt, given Stephen Harper's government's record on women's issues in general. Of course, it's an issue that sells very well, that sounds great. What the content of this is in question, obviously, and why the G8 gets to make decisions about women's health and child health in different parts of the world is another question, given the fact that the G8 actually, unlike the United Nations for all the UN's problems, is actually a body that has basically brought itself into existence and every year gets together in order to discuss a set of issues relating to the world without any official mandate, any endorsement from the citizens of the nations that make it up, let alone from the citizens of other countries in the world who these policies directly affect. So much like the World Trade Organization, the International Monetary Fund, or the World Bank, who make decisions that are enacted against other people, the G8 is similarly unaccountable. There's no way for us to elect a development minister or to appoint a development minister who goes forward to these conferences, nor are any of their decisions ultimately held accountable in even the most sort of, middle-of-the-road liberal sense. So issues of accountability and transparency are certainly a huge issue. So what's the context here? Well, I just want to talk about three things in this regard. And the first is where the G8 came from and sort of what the context is for how it came into being, because I think it tells us a lot right now about what the G8 is doing and what the problems with it is, why it needs to be opposed. And then I also want to say a few words on the issue of development and the idea of development that is being discussed in Halifax this month particularly. And just as sort of a follow-up to that, I want to say a few words about neoliberalism as a form of capitalism and also the problems with how it connects with development. So I'll just go that way. So where did the G8 come from? Well, G8 in the 1970s emerges out of a call. France issues this call for some of the world's most powerful nations to come together and form this club, right? So why? Why the 1970s? Well, for those of you who know a bit about your history, the 1970s is a particularly interesting time. In the 1970s, we see arguably the transition from what was an industrial form of capitalism into what we know today to be neoliberal capitalism. So, for instance, deregulation of currencies. So the floating currency rates that we know today that are in large part responsible for the volatility of financial markets on a global scale, this is where they come from. The oil shocks of the early 1970s, which unsettled so many economies in the global north as a result of the formation of the OPEC, right, the Association of Oil Producing Countries. OPEC chokes off the supply to the global north, resulting in massive increases in the price of fuel. The U.S. economy, Canadian economy go into recession, all these things are happening. The U.S. has just recently been defeated in Vietnam, so the world's most powerful military defeated on the ground in Vietnam. Yes, indeed. And importantly, and I think really tellingly, the 1970s is a time when the phrase, maybe some of you have heard it, I mean, we use it, perhaps today some of us for our own purposes, but when we talk about the crisis of democracy, that phrase actually emerges in the 1970s from a body known as the Trilateral Commission. Well, you might be asking, who is the Trilateral Commission? Well, the Trilateral Commission is actually a very interesting thing. It's kind of like the civilian parallel to the G8, because the Trilateral Commission is actually an entirely unaccountable group of private citizens, some of the most elite citizens drawn from three regions of the world, from North America, from Europe, and from Japan. Essentially, that's the tri in the lateral. The Trilateral Commission comes together in the 70s because they are concerned about the decade that the world has just come through, right? The 1960s is a hugely tumultuous time marked by lots of radical and revolutionary movements. Out of those massive protest movements and out of the U.S. defeat in Vietnam, this private citizens group comes together to discuss the world's problems behind closed doors and to make recommendations to their respective governments, essentially. So think of it as something along the lines of the World Economic Forum now, held in Davos, Switzerland every year, right? Completely unaccountable, completely unelected, completely private. These group of folks come together and they pen this report. And in the 1970s, they say the world is currently living through a crisis of democracy. And what they're talking about when they say crisis of democracy is not that the world has problems because not enough people can make their voices heard. They're talking about the fact that people actually have too much democracy in their countries. And this is their explicit definition. They say governments in liberal democratic states are facing challenges from their people that they can't resolve. Basically, people want more freedom, better health, a better society, a more egalitarian, more just place. Then governments are willing to provide, and this is going to create the conditions for confrontation between people and their governments. So they suggest something needs to be done about this. So the crisis of democracy emerges in the 1970s as basically a call to arms for governments against their populations. At the same time, the G8 emerges as a governmental apparatus to reflect the same kinds of issues. So in this case, on the one hand, you have a private citizens group. On the other hand, you have nominally democratically elected leaders coming together to make decisions on behalf of the rest of the world. There are other fora for this, right? The UN is one of them. You want to discuss climate change, you want to discuss economic crisis, why not in the UN for all its problems, but at least it's an existing forum. Instead, the G8 is created. What this lines up with, of course, is really the realization, I think this gets to the heart of why the G8 is so problematic, is that the G8 is actually an attempt not to sort of distill the wonders of Western civilization to the rest of the world, but rather an attempt to circumvent any attempt to actually democratically decide from the bottom up what people's societies ought to look like. So as other struggles are emerging in other parts of the world to contest Western hegemony in various ways, you have the G8 emerging basically to circumvent other democratic processes and to make decisions on behalf of other people. It lines up perfectly well with the Trilateral Commission's warnings about too much democracy because, hey, if you're making decisions behind closed doors in a way that can never be held accountable to any kind of nominally democratic will, even in your own country, you can make whatever policies you want, much like the WTO can write whatever policies it wants about the world economy. So what we see here, I think, arguably, is a transition in the community of nation states, right, towards increasing oligopoly. So rule instead of rule by the many, you have rule by the very few. You also have a transition towards, arguably, the G8 explicitly reflects the fact that it's a plutonomy. And for those of you who don't know what plutonomy is, plutonomy is a word that's actually been used by insiders to the global economy, right? Citibank has actually written a memo to their shareholders about their richest clients about how great plutonomy is. Canada, the US, and the UK are all plutonomies. A plutonomy is essentially an economy driven by the wealthiest 1%. So it's an economy driven explicitly by the super rich. And arguably what the G8 reflects is the same kind of impulse. So it's both oligarchic and plutonomic in its structure, fundamentally. It's an elite organization that is making decisions on behalf of the world's population for interests that are pretty poorly articulated. Just to bring this around to what's going on in Halifax right now, what we have is a G8 ministerial meeting that focuses on development. Again, development is one of the most ambiguous and controversial terms of the last 100 years, at least. Development as a word is coined is used as sort of a political idea in the 1950s by U.S. President Harry Truman. It's used as this idea that the rest of the world is progressing in some kind of linear way towards, of course, who's imagined at the top of the developmental ladder? Well, the West, largely, right? So the world wants what the West has. The West will offer it through its own mechanisms. Of course, the last half century have borne witness to the fruits of development. And even if you look at the World Bank, for instance, which has been kind of the quintessential institution charged with funding development projects, mega development projects in the formerly Third World, by its own accounting, it's failed miserably to actually improve people's quality of life, basic standards of living. On every outcome, they've failed, and the IMF has too. In fact, it's resulted in the increasing impoverishment of most of these countries. So what we have is not only is the G8 fundamentally problematic in its structure, unaccountable, oligopolistic, representative of a global plutonomy, completely unaccountable, completely anti-democratic, representative of, in fact, the nations on this planet that are currently leading the charge towards oblivion and occupying other parts of the world in their own interest. But fundamentally, what's going on in Halifax here is a conference that brings together the richest, most powerful amongst the richest and most powerful people on this planet to make decisions about how other people's societies ought to look for the foreseeable future. That's what development projects are fundamentally. Grassroots organizations don't talk about development anymore in other parts of the world precisely because that word is so despised, largely. They talk about other forms of advancing their interests and their well-being within their own social orders, but certainly not about development as it's been enacted by powerful institutions like this. So I think I'll leave it at that. I don't want to take up too much more time. If there are any questions about anything that I've said, I'd be happy to answer them afterwards. And maybe I'll just turn it over to our other speakers to give us a sense of the G8.